Well, Timothy Killeen, first of all, I want to welcome you to the University of Illinois, where you'll be starting as president on Monday.
That's exactly right. Thank you so much.
Is there a ceremony for this sort of thing?
There will be a transfer of a chain medallion that will signify the transition, yes, in Springfield, but no great ceremony. The ceremony that we're looking forward to is commencement, and that's when our graduates finish, and that's the big deal this week.
So you'll be there in time for your first commencement, just a week after taking the office.
Yes, I'll be attending the commencement ceremonies, all the ones that I can get to. I'm really looking forward to that.
What are your plans during your first week as president?
Well, as you know, I was announced in last November, so there's been a 6-month period of transitional work with President Bob Easter, and so I'm not exactly new, but I really want to use this first week to be out at the campuses, including the medical campuses, Rockford and Peoria, obviously Chicago, Springfield, and here. And the way we've designed the first week is to a little bit of a traveling roadshow. The three chancellors and myself are going to travel together. We're going to be speaking together in town hall settings on each of the campuses, answering questions from the community, and spending quality time together, because I think one of the things I'm very excited about is the synergy across the three campuses of the University of Illinois. We've got great leadership, and I really want to help create that cohesive team, building on what's already here. So we'll be doing that next week.
In the visiting of the various campuses that mm-hmm. you've done so far, what are you finding out about the U of I? What particular strengths does the U of I have that you'd like to build on?
Well, first of all, people have been asking me what surprises you most about the U of I, but I've been paying attention for many years. You probably know from my background as a professor and administrator, I'm in awe, as I like to say, of the University of Illinois. I know a lot about it, certain areas better than other areas. It's a magnificent institution. It's got an incredible legacy. 150 years almost of contributions on all kinds of fields. It's got tremendous faculty, great student body, 700,000 alumni, you know, almost 400,000 of them in Illinois contributing to Illinois' economy. So none of that surprised me. I kind of knew the facts and figures, but if the things that have been most striking in my transitional months is the depth of the loyalty of the stakeholders. I'm talking about alumni, students, faculty, staff, stakeholders of different types. And I wish I could brand that and bottle it and sell it, because that loyalty is deep and profound, and I think it's one of the most important assets that this university has, and we want to take advantage of that. There are other things that I've learned more about in my visits to labs. I think, for example, the ability to work across disciplinary lines in scholarship is remarkable at the University of Illinois. And I think that's something we can also take great advantage of if you think about the challenges that society has and the need for human capital and the training and the skills and competencies that are needed. That's a great asset too. So among the things that I would cite are loyalty and ability to work across disciplinary boundaries in a seamless kind of way. And I think that's a great asset. There's a great assets, but there are also hallmarks of what's needed going forwards for a land-grant university.
And are there particular areas where you think the university now, areas you'd like to see the university grow and develop more?
Yes, I think the certainly, I see growth and impact as important components of the future. There are clearly some budgetary challenges that are being faced currently. But if you think about the University of Illinois as a real great exemplar of the land-grant mission, where forged under President Lincoln's signature, the academy was connected to the economy, and the economy of the day was agrarian way back then. Now we're dealing with a knowledge economy. It's fast-paced, competitive, global, multifaceted economy. And so for the land-grant university to participate fully in a leadership, a shaping role, we need to take advantage of our scale. And I think one of the characteristics of the University of Illinois is its scale. It's got expertise in all of these areas. It's got very distinctive, three very distinctive, truly excellent campuses that are different in type, but truly excellent. And taking advantage of that scale, I think it's what the state of Illinois needs now, particularly connecting new knowledge creation and dissemination to the economy, which is about human welfare and prosperity, through goods, services, intellectual capacity, discoveries, inventions, but also, and probably at the core, human capital, the student body. It's all fundamentally about the students and giving them a real rich educational experience that then they can take and be great citizens and great contributors in the future. That optimally requires a scale commensurate with the importance of the University of Illinois. This is the heavyweight flagship university of the state of Illinois, which is a very important state. So I think the University of Illinois has to take that that outlook, that worldview, that that we're in the heavyweight class here and need to act that way. So there'll be certainly some growth in areas, but we don't want to swell. We want to focus on excellence and impact, and students, the student experience is sort of at the core. So there'll be guiding principles behind decisions that are taken as we move into the future, and that'll be done as it should be in full collaboration with the faculty and the sort of traditional shared governance mode, which I think is very important, very strong here in Illinois, and I'm really excited about working with the faculty governance structure to make some of these choices and decisions as we move forward.
Tim, your own background is in research. Yeah. You were a researcher in geophysics, space sciences. You've been an administrator in, I guess, facilitating research projects. Can you tell me what insights you bring now to your position as a new university president from that background, from working in research and with research?
Okay. So I note you used the past tense. In I used to be a researcher.
Well, that was going to be a question coming up. Are you going to continue?
I hope that the discipline of inquiry and new knowledge creation and discovery, curiosity, is part of who I am and part of what builds research. So I think it's. It is an important base of experience, and I was, as you know, in a involved in space sciences, building instrumentation for satellites. And one of the things I learned there is it doesn't do much good if it doesn't work. So having things that work well, that where there are outcomes that are meaningful and functional, is very important. I think one of the lessons from my background and experience, both in actually as an active researcher, but also as a research administrator, is the sort of importance of project management and good delivery and effective stewardship of resources, so the outcomes are healthy and vital and work. So things that work well, I think, is something that gives you a lot of internal satisfaction. I think the ability to work in teams is something that I've picked up along the way. Collaboration is incredibly important, and I think it's always been important, but it's of increasing importance, I think, as particularly some of the more complex problem areas come into focus, for which need realistic solution sets that are derived from expertise that has to be conjoined from lots of different directions. So I think collaborative spirit is very important. And in order to get that, and I may be talking too lengthy, you'll give me the sign if I'm going on too long. as a professor I am, essentially, word might. But I think collaboration also needs respectful listening and discernment that where diversity is important, diversity of opinions, diversity of outlook, people coming together, looking at issues with from the different facets, and then designing strategies that are holistic, and those are the most successful. They're also it's fun to work in teams as well. Those are among the things that I think I've picked up along the way as a researcher.
And in talking about, I was thinking of the research work done at the university.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would see a little tension between the research work and the instructional work, but can they inform mm-hmm. each other? Mm-hmm. Is there a way that the research work can be part of the students' experience, including the undergraduate students?
Absolutely, yes. And that's been something I've been passionate about and interested in for many, many years. It's been demonstrated pretty conclusively that hands-on, authentic learning in team settings, doing engaged work, scholarships, be it in a library or in a lab or out in the field, adds to the student experience, creates better outcomes for students, able to solve problems, able to think creatively. So I think this combination of research-enriched learning, which some people call applied learning, is incredibly important. And I think it should be available to all students to have these sorts of experiences which really help them with their scholarly education as well as their competencies that they go forward with. So I don't see it as one thing pitted against the other. I think in the academy, we need to recognize that new knowledge creation, which is about research, and new knowledge dissemination, which is about instruction and education, are two sides of the same coin. And to be in a setting such as the University of Illinois, where the teaching and learning is excellent and the research and scholarship is excellent, is just a wonderful place for students to thrive and prosper and learn things. So we can always do better on all of these things. We can always have more. We can have more careful engagement, more opportunities. We need to make some evidence-based decisions on how to use our resources best. But that connection of research and scholarship to teaching and learning is central to the University of Illinois and very much a strong suit.
Do facilities at the U of I, things like the Research Park here at the Urbana mm-hmm. campus or the new UI Labs mm-hmm. being developed in Chicago, do they play a role? Are they part of applying the concept of applied learning?
Yes, I would say so. I think, as I suggested earlier, the modern 21st century land grant mission is about research universities, and particularly public research universities, contributing to the public good through economic revitalization. I believe that Illinois could benefit from, and in fact needs, higher levels of participation in economic revitalization. And that can benefit the students by providing opportunities, internships, reference letters from key people, exposure to what their future careers might be and look like. And so there's really a virtuous cycle here in terms of participation of a public research university in the economic well-being of the state. It's in the genome because of the land grant mission. It's in the mission as of about the year 2000. I remember reading all about the University of Illinois' commitment to this, and it benefits the students, and it benefits the faculty too, because they also have opportunities to gain access to resources and support that might not otherwise happen. And as I said earlier, I think Illinois, to prosper and succeed in a 21st century economy, it needs to grow. It needs to grow in terms of its economic throughput, and by that I mean good jobs for where you know our students can raise families and have careers and have opportunities. So I think that is as well part of the overall mission of the university. And you mentioned UI Labs, which had a big event last week, which I attended, and the Research Park. I think they're both important aspects of this, because if you're thinking about an innovation ecosystem that the University of Illinois can support, it's about teaching preparation, training, human capital development. It's about new knowledge, new ideas. It's about new fledgling companies that can succeed. It's about connecting to the lifeblood of the state. And that ecosystem has to be nurtured. And obviously I'm voting with my feet here, but the centerpiece of it all is the public research university. And I'm going to make that case, and I'm going to make that case strongly, as often as people will listen to me, and I was making it yesterday in Springfield.
Yourself, are you going to be keeping your hand in, as it were, doing any research or doing any teaching along with your work as president here?
I would love to get into teaching again. It's been a few years since I've taught an actual lecture course, but I've been doing guest lectures, so I've got my lecture notes from way back when. I'm going to the first order of business is to get to start work, and we've got some issues to work through in terms of budgets in particular that I think is going to consume my initial energies, and I really want to get out and meet our faculty, staff, and stakeholders, family members, and I think that's important to be really taking in information from all the key stakeholders groups. But I would love to get back into teaching to some extent. And in terms of research, I think I have to the hands-on research that I was doing, I don't think I'm going to have the time for. So I can do it maybe through my colleagues. I can pay attention. I can attend meetings. I read the technical journals, which is a joyful thing to do, and perhaps at some point I'll be able to get back into lab settings. I certainly think of myself, as I sort of indicated earlier, as a researcher and professor, and scratch me hard enough, that's what you'll find. So,
well, what inspired you to take on the work of an administrator?
I think if you look back on my career, I moved into administration pretty early on, but kept my feet in both scholarly pursuits as well as administration. I do find administration very creative and very rewarding, and particularly if you recognize the skills and attributes of others, and you can help others achieve their dreams in terms of scholarship and so forth, and then have the credit flow to them and watch careers unfold. It's very rewarding. And then, as we mentioned earlier, this idea of team building and collaborative design and larger scale attack on social technical problems that need to be resolved, that's extremely rewarding too. So my career has unfolded a little bit without a lot of planning, I have to admit. I didn't know I was going to be sitting in this chair 7 months ago. So there's a little bit of serendipity about what happens in your career, but each step has been a broadening and a larger landscape and a larger horizon, and that's been extremely rewarding, and I've been extremely fortunate with the opportunities I have. But it's all Illinois all the time, I can tell you that from now on.
Tim, we asked our audience this week to suggest some questions for you, and this is one of them about online instruction and its role in the university as it becomes a larger part of what the University of Illinois offers to students. What do you think you can do as U of I president to ensure that online learning provides the same value and earns the same respect as classroom learning?
That's a great question. I really like the way you posed that question. Clearly, there are disruptive technologies that have importance for pedagogical delivery and education coming at us quickly. Distance education is one of those things, and it's a growing field. And I think the implication in your question is that what do you do about the quality assurance and the to make sure that these distance curricular products are really state of the art, world class. And I think that needs work and careful design. And as all curricular elements, they are faculty products. So you've got to, if university presidents don't create curricula, faculty create curricula and manage curricula. So I think opening the doors for that kind of conversation. I'm particularly interested in hybrid models where you're looking at a combination of, as we were talking about earlier, applied learning strategies as well as distance learning strategies. And, of course, the campus experience is very important, too. So there'll be a mix of learning styles, I think, that it's going to be a larger portfolio of learning styles and methodologies that will be in play in the future. I think our commitment at the University of Illinois is going to be to do it at the highest level of excellence so that the learners that entrust their time and energy and resources to come to our university are given the best experience that's most meaningful for them in their lives. So, and affordability is part of that, too, and accessibility and affordability. Is all part of that equation too. So I think IT technologies for education are very important, and we don't only want to apply them at the university. We want to be leaders in their design and the technologies that underpin them as well. So it's a research field as well as an educational field. And this is another of those instances where the research and education are the two sides of the same coin.
News accounts I've seen about your work at SUNY note that you came there after an ethics scandal at that institution involving the previous administration. And the U of I has its share of scandals and controversies in its recent history, the admissions scandal and the dispute between a former president and faculty over governance. As you're getting to know the people here at the U of I, are you finding that these events are essentially all in the past, or do they still leave an impression that you have to contend with as an incoming president?
I think I appreciate that question. Of course, I've done a lot of reading and I've talked to a lot of people about these institutional challenges in the past, and I did live through a transition from one state to a much better state at the State University of New York, the Research Foundation there. And could talk a little bit about what you need to do. It's mostly common sense, in fact, in terms of policies, standards of integrity, transparency, accountability, careful stewardship, disclosure of conflicts, and those sorts of things are all part of what I... In terms of the University of Illinois, my sense is that Professor Bob Easter, President Bob Easter, who's become a firm friend over the last several months and has been extremely gracious with his time, has really done the institution a service in terms of creating a platform from which now I, as the incoming president, can move beyond and out in terms of embracing this concept of the modern land grant, the American university for the 21st century. At scale, the kinds of things we touched on earlier. And so I think the scene is set for wonderfully great things to happen. I also feel that the many students, faculty, and staff at the University of Illinois are ready for that. I think sometimes some of these issues that consume a lot of newsprint can set institutions back or a little lower aspirational settings. And so so what we're going to do next week is we're going to try to initiate a process that the board has asked for a new strategic plan. And my intention is to take this opportunity to co-create this strategic plan that will take advantage of this platform that President Easter, I think, is bequeathing to the next president and really move to another level, move up to another level of excellence, integrity, connectedness, And the way I feel about this is it's about shared vision. There's nothing as strong as a shared vision. To create a shared vision, you have to have a lot of conversation and dialogue and discussion. And so that'll be part of early taskings that I'll undertake. So we're going to do this round robin tour next week, but then we're going to go through a process of a consultative, collective, shared visioning that will lead us to a implementable strategic plan that will, my hope is, will define the University of Illinois as the model of a 21st century land-grant university. I'm not talking about catching up with anybody here. I'm talking about the best university. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think that's what the legacy kind of calls for. I think that's what the great staff and faculty need and demand and deserve. And I certainly what our students need to experience. And so we're going to go for it.
And you're going to be trying to do this at the same time when the governor of Illinois has proposed substantial cuts in state funding for public universities. What do you want to do to prepare for these cuts, or perhaps lobby to prevent them?
Right. Okay. So that's the when somebody else asked me this question, I'll repeat my answer. It's okay to, I think, repeat yourself sometimes, but you win the Tour de France when the going gets tough, right? On the uphill legs. So the budget environment here is clearly problematic and difficult, and obviously I am going to work, I hope tirelessly. I do get tired occasionally, but I'm going to work as hard as I can on advocating to those decision makers the importance of the value proposition of the University of Illinois for the people of Illinois, for its impact, not just in educating the students, but creating prosperity for the state as well, and through public-private governmental partnerships. So that's the case to be made, that we deserve, the university deserves access to resources from the Illinois taxpayer. I think it's a strong case to be made. And so we want to avoid negative things. But I can tell you that no matter what level of resources we have, we're going to be committed to excellence and to embracing the future. No matter what the level is, we're going to argue for the best possible level with the most cogent arguments that we can come up with. And we're also going to look hard at ourselves, because I think that's part of our responsibility. The state has an authentic problem. We recognize it. We're going to be realistic about making our contributions to the resolution of these things at the University of Illinois. Again, as a heavyweight, and I think those contributions can be important. But that means that we need to look at ourselves. We need to make sure that we're efficient, we're good stewards of resources, we are effective, we have an emphasis on excellence, we hold each other and ourselves accountable. And this abiding commitment to excellence, I think, is going to – excellence and integrity are the critical things. So, yes, the budget outlook is problematic. I'm personally an optimist. I don't know how to be anything other than that. So we are going to work on making it as optimal for the university and all of the stakeholders through advocacy. But then we're going to actually – no matter what, we're going to move, forge ahead with this embracing the 21st century, because that's what we have to do.
Even aside from the budget problems Illinois is seeing right now, the trend over the last several years seems to be towards a decline in state funding for public universities in the U.S. while mm-hmm. tuition rates go up. Mm-hmm. Do you see this trend continuing? What other potential funding models exist to take the place of what is on the decline now?
Yeah. I do think that this is the time where some of the models that worked for decades are kind of reaching the end of their shelf life in terms of the business model for universities. And it's reflected in the declines, not just here, but in many states of state funding for the public universities. And the tuition is part of that old business model, and of course it directly impacts accessibility and affordability for students. So we're gonna look carefully at that model, and we've been talking about and developing a conceptual new compact between the university and the state in terms of what we provide the state and what the state provides us. And the interest here is in a multi-year outlook so that we can plan effectively, so that we wouldn't be moving from, you know, crisis to crisis, but planning effectively. I think that new business model will require looking at efficiency effectiveness, as I was alluding to earlier. It will also need looking at potentially new funding sources and resources, notably, of course, philanthropy and research funding, connecting with public-private partnerships, et cetera, and then with the state. So I think we need to be in a mode of looking ahead optimistically at a new model of operation where our guiding principles will include, importantly, affordability and accessibility and quality of education. And as you probably noticed, there was a commitment to freeze tuition this year, that I was part of those conversations. And I think it demonstrates a commitment to the mission of a public university, providing opportunities for Illinois youth. And we need to continue doing that. We can't cost our way, despite the budget pressures. We're not going to just turn on a faucet and negatively impact Illinois families without really looking at this new business model. So affordability is going to be part of our thinking going forward. It's going to be a core part of this new strategic plan.
I was wondering about that with the words of the former chairman of the University of Illinois Board of Trustees, Christopher Kennedy, who told Crane's Chicago Business shortly after stepping down that the university should keep tuition high. He didn't think the tuition freeze was a good idea. He said that the rich can afford the higher tuition and that the system needs the money to compete with Harvard, Dartmouth, and Brown, for instance, and that financial aid would then exist for middle and low-income households. So I guess in looking at that, does he have a point? And is it possible for a major research university like the U of I to be affordable and highly competitive as you're seeking?
Well, Mr. Kennedy was a wonderful board chair, and I would love to have this conversation directly with him. I think you can do both. I believe that you can be affordable and excellent, and that they actually are intertwined concepts, and we can attract great faculty and provide the reward systems and be ranked nationally and be preeminent and still be accessible. Now, in order to do that, we've got to work hard. There will be instances where fees and tuition rates may have to go up because of other eventualities. And certainly there's some differentials there between students who come from abroad where there are legitimately higher costs on the institutional side to do that. So it's as I was suggesting, I'm new here in a way. So we're going to take this on as a business model, looking at all of the factors in this complex equation. And I think what I'm trying to impart is that there are guiding principles behind the decisions we'll take, which will be rooted in excellence, integrity, and contributions to Illinois families. It's really important components of this overall structure. So I'm not sure if that answers your question in detail, but on day minus two, that's what that's what I'm giving you.
I wanted to go on to a question about a new project here at the Urbana campus. And one big new research development, the launch of the Engineering-Focused College of Medicine here at the Urbana campus. It was a program that was launched over the objections of the Chicago campus, where the existing College of Medicine is based. Of course, you're going to be the president of the entire university. How do you make sure that two colleges of medicine work smoothly and perhaps even cooperatively?
Yes, this will be on my watch, and I'm very excited about this challenge. Now, I come from the State University of New York, where we had four medical colleges, so it's not like you can't have more than one in a state.
Was there rivalry or friction in UNY?
I would say healthy competition, some rivalry, but a lot of complementarity, too, and a mutual infusion of best practices and lessons learned. So I've come from a state where there's been considerable work done with hospitals and with medical colleges. The thing that I wanted to get to, though, with this is that the University of Illinois at Chicago Medical School is a tremendous medical school. It has fantastic faculty. It has reach and scale and an emphasis on what I would call population health and community health, nursing, social work, et cetera, that is really beautifully poised for the new era of managed care as we move away from sort of ER visits to trying to have preventative medicine in clinical settings to lower the cost to make it more. So I think the University of Illinois Chicago has a fantastic future in its medical school. Wonderful students, scale, opportunities, and of course it's in a world city with a tremendously diverse population and some aspects of disadvantaged populations too, which is a branch of medicine in and of itself. Then we have now this very exciting new College of Medicine in Urbana-Champaign that's going to be obviously take a few years to evolve and develop, but the concept of bringing engineering and biomedical research together in a setting for training next generations of physicians who have a strong technical I think is very complementary to what we have in Chicago. And if you read the small print of the notifications on this, collaboration is going to be built into the design of the new medical school. So it's not going to just happen and after the fact we'll say, can these two organizations work together? We're committed to creating to having it be designed for collaboration. And as I just described, I think there's a degree of complementarity here that will enable really significant synergies, particularly with the way medicine is evolving now with high-tech, you know, sensors and neuroscience capabilities and robotic surgery, all these intervention strategies that rely on really modern cutting-edge engineering and the cutting edge of what it means to have a healthy population. And I see that as not as intellectually challenging as anything. And I think the assets that we have in Chicago are fabulous. And plus, there's a very strong bioengineering school there as well. So I am excited about having an embarrassment of riches. Not a bad place to be.
Wanted to ask you about the role of the Springfield campus. It's the newest addition to the U of I. It's been with it for just 20 years. What role does it play in the university system? And do you see in it specific strengths to leverage or weaknesses to address?
Yes. And this was probably, to be honest, the part of the University of Illinois that I knew about the least 6 months ago, and I've learned a lot about it. And I'm just very excited and delighted at what I see. The commitment to teaching and learning and distance education we talked about earlier is very, very strong there. There are a great strengths in research as well. I think in terms of public policy, there's very important connections there to where Illinois needs to go as a state in terms of tax policy, pension policy, et cetera. It's a university, I think, that is young. It's got growth potential. It's in the state capital. Leadership, which is wonderful there, has very concrete strategic plans for developments that I think are very exciting too. So the combination of a sort of excellent liberal arts school, smaller school, which is growing in the state capital, with a world city major research university in Chicago, 28,000 students, Carnegie One classification, biggest medical school in the country, cited in a world city that's, I think of as the funnel for a third of the GDP in the country, in a way, with this magnificent Avena campus here, where you have 150 years of legacy and high-ranking departments everywhere you look, and a tremendous elan in the faculty to work across disciplinary boundaries. Somebody like myself coming in, it's couldn't be better.
Faculty unions. I wanted to ask about those because they're at various stages of development in the three U of I campuses. I don't know to what level they exist at SUNY. Do you welcome them?
I think I've lived in both unionized faculty and ununionized faculty. What I really care about is excellence in mission delivery, and more than happy to work with either type of organized faculty. We cannot go off the boil. That's the one thing I would say. And I think we care about the faculty. Universities were sort of created as faculty guilds in a way. So the faculty are at the core of the essence of the university. And I think that collective combination of intellectuals who are devoting their professional careers to teaching, learning, research, and discovery is what the university is all about. Self-organization is a right. So I welcome, and I welcome all models, and would work in all kinds of settings. But I think excellence and key mission delivery and respect for and nurturing of and recruitment retention of great faculty is what I'm going to be particularly interested in fostering.
Wanted to ask about the level of students at the U of I who are African-American on the Urbana campus. It's under 5%. Mm-hmm. That's, I believe, lower than it has been in some recent years. It's lower than the other two campuses in terms of percentage. The university administration has said it has programs in place to improve those numbers. What can the U of I do to be more effective in enrolling and graduating African-American students?
Well, I think this is a very important question. I think diversity of all types is needed for a university. Not just ethnic diversity, but diversity of outlook, background, approaches, etc. I think in terms of the African-American student participation in UIUC, I think that's something that needs work on. In fact, I do know that the Chancellor and Provost this week have visited a Chicago high school in order to work on this very problem. And I'm tracking this. I'm looking at it. I have some experience in other settings of pipelines and that are important. And I think we need to be concerned about this. We need to work on it. And there are many factors, of course, as you must know, in this kind of a question. But I would like to see a university where we are reflective of our population, and provide opportunities and access and opening doors to all of all of our underrepresented groups. And I will say that we need to improve those numbers. And I'm optimistic that you will see an uptick in this particular year. I've been tracking the admissions and the applications, etc., to see what's how this is unfolding, and it's something I'm going to be paying very close attention to. And in fact, just the other day, I was also working in visiting high school in the Latino community in Chicago. Similar reasons. We need to be connected to communities of all types appropriately and effectively.
And from what you just said, Tim, are you saying that perhaps the fall 2015 enrollment numbers could be better than fall 2014 in that regard, African-American enrollment?
Well, you're pinning me down, Jim. I am an optimist, as I told you, but I've looked at the numbers. And we'll see when the final records are provided. But, of course, you students who say yes may turn around and say, no, I've changed my mind later on. So I think let's wait until we see the final numbers. But it's these are numbers that I'm going to be looking at and talking about and thinking through. And we these are that's an important question.
One of the big news stories this week, a big sports story as well, has been the charges from a former U of I football player, Simon Svejanovic, about his treatment regarding care for his injuries by coach Tim Beckman. The university is bringing in a law firm to do an investigation. Can you lay out the policies you believe the university should have in treating its student athletes, especially when they get hurt?
Well, I think I probably can't get into the student athlete policies because maybe and to first order, this is an issue that the athletic director and the chancellor are dealing with, and I'm being informed as what's going on, as is President Bob Easter being informed. We need to take such allegations, if I can call them that, seriously and look into them. And I think the appropriate response has been to delve deeper into that question. In terms of policies, if I could step back to students just generally, I think student safety is an incredibly important issue. I think respectful workplace in all settings is an incredibly important issue. We need to be competitive, we need to be inquisitive and demanding, etc. But I think there are some fundamentals that also need to be in policy, and that is respect for each other as individuals. And I think the faculty should model that, and I think we hope that the students benefit from those kind of settings. That doesn't mean you take the edge off the competitive drive at all. So I would just put it in a larger context what I would call a respectful workplace that we want the University of Illinois to be.
University has had recent controversy over the hiring of James Kilgore, who served a prison sentence for his activities with the radical group. And currently, Stephen Salida, whose faculty appointment was withdrawn following his controversial postings on Twitter. There are strong opinions on both sides. Both sides raise policy questions going on from this point regarding how faculty and other employees should be hired. How do you want to address those questions?
Well, I've read a lot about and I've been exposed to a lot of these discussions in my transition period. So it's not a brand new discussion for me. The way I am personally thinking about what I need to work on when I arrive next week, and this strategic planning is to think about what it means to be a citizen of planet Earth in the 21st century, with things like respect for the academy and academic freedom and the Constitution, and things such as we talked about a moment ago in terms of respectful listening and so forth, and not pit pieces of that against each other, so that we have an Illinois model that is wholesome and that is healthy moving forward. And some of the issues that you've talked about are sort of examples of that discussion breaking out. And I think the discussion is actually very healthy because, yes, there are passions held in both in all aspects of this, but I think this is the debate of our times. What does it mean to be a university in the 21st century? What does it mean to be a faculty member? What does it mean to be a student, what does excellence in classroom and in scholarship mean? And as I said earlier on, the thing I want to focus on is University of Illinois' faculty. It's all about, it's for the students, but it's by the faculty. And so we have to have this commitment to excellence in faculty as well. So the strategic planning process my hope is, and we're going to start this in a consultative fashion, so I'm not going to impose a blueprint. I'm going to come in with ideas, as my colleagues will have. But I think civic engagement is an important piece of what it means to be educated, what I think University of Illinois brings to the table in its full richness. That has many aspects and attributes, and also the core of freedom of inquiry and academic freedom is really at the bulwark of what it means to be a professor, and I am completely adherent to those fundamental principles. The discussion is a healthy discussion. And when it gets into policies, I think the policies should be as clear as possible. A lot of very smart people have thought about this, and there are articulated versions of that that are well regarded and respected. And so I don't think we need to start from scratch. I think we've got a lot to call on. But I'm interested in the University of Illinois being the model for some of these things that I would call civic engagement. Also global engagement is also important too. We need to connect out as well as within.
I wanted to bring
up... I'm not sure if I'm helping answer your question, Jim, but I'm trying.
Okay, Tim. I wanted to bring in one more, another question that was sent into us, and that was asking about a proposal that a local lawmaker had this year, State Senator Bill Brady, who proposed as a way to save money for state universities to have them privatized.
Mm-hmm.
That essentially the idea is that they would still receive state funding, the state would still own the campuses, but the universities would be private institutions and thus would be exempt from state procurement rules, which mm-hmm. Require extra expenses there. Is that a viable idea that would help, do you think? Would it change the nature of what a public university is?
Well, I think the short answer would be it might change. I think it's a very creative idea. I think it's part of the overall discussion I referred to a little bit earlier. I think we do need to find a new model for public higher education in the 21st century because some of the older models have run their course a little bit, and we need to be, as I was emphasizing, forward-leaning on these things. Personally, I like the public aspect of the public university. I think public good is inherent in our DNA and our makeup, and that's an important value to project. So there are many excellent private universities, of course, as you know, that have their own internally coherent business models and so forth. I think the connection of the University of Illinois and its land-grant mission and its public outlook requires attention to the public good. And, of course, we need to be held accountable to ensure the public good through human capital development and all these other things we've talked about. There's also a private good, of course, that somebody gets when they get a degree and they have opportunities that wouldn't be afforded to somebody without that education. So families prosper as well. So I think the debate is really private good, but I would be really tilt towards the public good because I think at the scale in which we're operating with the provision of 20,000 degrees a year, many of them going to happen next week. And one thing I want to say is congratulations to all the seniors. And I hope that gets out on your airwaves because they deserve their time, their moment of joy and celebration. 20,000 graduates a year is a tremendous contribution to the public good of the state of Illinois, if you think about it. They don't just graduate. They live here. They stay here. They pay their taxes. They participate in the economy with all the credentials and the expertise that they've derived from this. That is a contribution to public good that, for me, is really important. So I love the word public. So there's something in me that says, well, let's not privatize that. On the other hand, we do need to look at our business model with care and attention and due diligence so it's viable with these guiding principles that I mentioned before. So all of these are great questions. Today I got to congratulate you on the questions. You're probing the essential characteristics of a public research university. And I think sometimes you have to step back a little bit and take stock of what's just happened. The world is changing around us. We've reached this platform, which is a really great platform, the University of Illinois. Where do we want to go next? And these are the questions, I think, what it means to be a student, what it means to be a faculty member, what it means to be participating in the economic lifeblood of the state, what it means to be globally engaged, all of these things, I think, are essential to where we go next. And I'm just looking forward to this discussion. And the faculty voice is going to be very, very important. And not everybody's going to agree on all topics, but that discussion and that inquiry-based debate, I think, will provide us with what we need to move forward ambitiously and aspirationally.
Tim, I have one last question, and I was struck by when your appointment as U of I president was announced. You were quoted as saying the job looked like a good right-hand capstone for your career. And a member of our audience wants to know, what do you consider to be, I guess, when your term is over as University of Illinois president, what will you consider to be as marks of a successful term that you can look back on with satisfaction?
Well, that's a good question. And I probably wouldn't like some of my former colleagues to hear this, but I think most of my experience has been training for this job. I've been in lots of different settings, and of course I gave my heart and soul to it. But I do think that this is the summation of my experiences and so forth. And so I'm going to give it my all. What would I see as the lasting contributions? I would like to see the University of Illinois better appreciated, more visible, stronger, more aspirational, more influential, have greater impact than, and I think some of the issues that we talked about a little bit earlier, which sort of in the way have been self-inflicted, have held back that sense. So restoring that sense of ambition, that aspiration, that sense of belonging that we'll see in spades next week at commencement, and if that could become obviously, it would be great to be up higher in pecking orders, ranking orders, et cetera, and impact in all the metrics in terms of participation in scholarship and discovery and economic impact, et cetera. And so there are many ways to assess progress. But for me, the water cooler metric is pretty important. You know, I would like people to say, well, have you seen what the University of Illinois is doing? Oh, my golly. You should check that out. That would be a nice little finding a few years from now, because I think the scene is set, as I said right up front, for greater levels of magnificence. Okay, not taking anything away from what we have now, but I think the future is ours to embrace, and it's not catching up with any other model. It's creating a new model of the public research university, World City, Big Ten, Springfield, liberal arts, biomedical training, global engagement, distance education at a scale and with affordability and accessibility and excellence. Those are the pieces that I think I hope would be cited at the end of a successful presidency. But I'm just gearing up right now, and I'm ready to go and work with our many colleagues and friends across the three campuses to move forward.
Well, Dr. Killeen, thank you very much for talking with me.
Thank you very much for the time and the interest.
And the best of luck as you start your term as president.
Thank you so much.